horizons, if you will, on, I am not a student at all. I hate reading. I hate books. I hate anything to do with schooling or anything like that. But in the last year, I can't get enough books. And I read and I read, and you start reading one and it ties you into another, and pretty soon you got four or five books going, and it's sometimes hard to be able to keep which one's what because they just all go like this. But one of them that I've enjoyed that we, Hallie and I read some of it is, there's devotions in here, but it's a Oswald Chambers, and I'm going to read something this morning out of it that kind of that we were very convicted by, and it'll actually tie in today. So this is obedience is what it's titled, and his servants are to whom they obey, and that's Romans 6:16 and what it's speaking of. But the first thing to do in examining the power that dominates me is to take hold of the unwelcoming fact that I am responsible. So that's always an unwelcome thing, is to be able to admit to ourselves that we are responsible for being thus dominated because I have yielded. If I am a slave to myself, I am to blame for it, because at a point a way back, I yielded myself to myself. Likewise, if I obey God, I do so because I have yielded myself to Him. Yield in childhood to selfishness, and you will find it the most enchaining tyranny on earth. There is no power in the human soul of itself to break the bondage of disposition formed by yielding. Yield for 1 second to anything in the nature of lust. Remember what lust is. I must have it at once, whether it be the lust of the flesh or the lust of the mind. Once yield, and though you may hate yourself for having yielded, you are a bondslave to that thing. There is no release in human power at all, but only in redemption. You must yield yourself in utter humiliation to the only one who can break the dominating power, the Lord Jesus Christ, because He has anointed to preach deliverance to the captives. We find this out in the most ridiculously small ways. Oh, I can give that habit up when I like. You cannot. You will find that the habit absolutely dominates you because you yielded to it willingly. It is easy to sing, "He will break every fetter," and at the same time be living a life obvious slavery to yourself. Yielding to Jesus will break every form of slavery in human life. So that actually will tie in when it's speaking of the first thing to do in examining the power that dominates me is to take hold of the unwelcome fact that I am responsible. We need to hold ourselves responsible for being dominated because we yielded to something. And we're going to see this morning that that's going to be sin. That our old sin nature, our lust, our self, that's what we yield ourselves to. And it turns around and it dominates our life. So, and so often we have nobody to blame for it because it's something that we chose to do, to chase after or to see and want and lust after more of at some point. So I just thought that was interesting, that kind of ties into where we're at this morning. We're going to continue on in speaking of the demon possession we covered last week. Today we're going to wrap this whole thing of the demonic realm up, and we're going to talk about demon influence. And the demon influence is what you and I fight, that believers can be demon influenced. We're not possessed by them. We covered all that last week. If you missed last week, there's some very good information, comforting information that we covered last week that you can listen to, that's recorded, that just goes through scripturally all the things that believers in Jesus Christ cannot be filled with anything other than the Holy Spirit. Once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are now a temple for the Holy Spirit. We cannot be filled by anything else. Okay, and we're going to see that this morning, that we can be influenced, as we're going to look at. And our main point, influence to get over the scary fear factor of saying that, well, not me, I can't be influenced, I've never been influenced by a demon. Well, if you've sinned, yes, you have, because that's the umbrella that it falls underneath of demonic influence is sin, and what we choose to do with sin, how we choose to sin, where we go with sin, as we're going to see this morning, that is all part of the demonic influence that you and I fight. So we'll look at that this morning. If you want to just take a moment of silent prayer to examine the state of your soul, if there's anything that is standing in the way of you in the throne of God now, 1 John 1:9 tells us that He is faithful and just to forgive us of those sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousnesses. And that is something that is that sometimes we take for granted. It is easy to tell God, yeah, I know you saw that. You're an omniscient, all-knowing God. Obviously, you see the things that I do. But I'm coming to you, and I'm admitting to you that I was in the wrong. And repentance, all that does is takes us from heading west, and it turns around, and it takes us heading east in the direction that God needs us to go. Father, we just, again, thank you for the opportunity to gather together this morning to just learn about you, to worship you, to come together before you as a church body. We can just encourage one another. We can pray for one another. We can just be build up as you've designed us to be. You know that we know that we are not intended to do this life alone, that it takes many people to just help one another, just build each other up and encourage when we're in tough and hard situations. And just to be able to do different things to keep us on track. You know, that's so often something we don't look at with the church, is that we're here to help that encouraging of not just when we're down, but when we're doing stupid things that just take us off the path of righteousness that we don't need to be on, that we're here to help each other and just convict each other of hey man, you're not doing the things that God wants us to be doing. And that's an important part of a church, is just to not do it arrogantly or selfishly, but just to help build one another up as brothers and sisters who love one another. So we just thank you for giving us the opportunity of a church. There's just so many places that meet around this world that have no opportunity to be able to do this, and it's something that we take for granted as we just show up willingly every Sunday morning and just sit here without confusion and chaos to just take in your word. And I just pray as we just take our busy week. There ain't one of us in this building that's not busy and doesn't have thousands of things going on, it seems. And yet so often we choose to put you in the back of our life because our life is just too busy for you. And that is nothing but a distraction from the enemy. So I pray this morning that as we sit here, we can be truly convicted. We can learn, that you may just step on us enough to maybe just get us motivated and get us moving into an attitude of desiring you, something that we may wake up every morning and know that before my feet hit the ground, I need to get right with you, and I need to see where you're at in my life to be able to help guide me through my day. So I just pray that we can learn something this morning, that we may take it, we may just file in our brain and be able to use it throughout our week. That's what you've intended us to be here for, and that's what you've intended to give us your word for. It's our map to our life. It's our compass and our direction, and the direction that we need to go. And without it, we're just going to be so far off course that it'll be nothing but detrimental. So we just pray that you allow the distractions in our mind to go away. That is nothing also as the enemy throws, is just distractions. So I pray as all those distractions and suggestions and all that little influence and things come in, that we may just shut them off, and we may just seek you and focus on you this morning. We just, again, continue to pray for Eldred and Janelle and the Schulte family, that you may just get them into a position where they're just relying on you, and that she can just be comforted by you and taking care of Eldred, that Janelle just knows what to do, how to do things, where she needs to take Eldred, how she needs to just handle and take care of this sickness that he's in. And we just pray that you allow them to be comforted and feel your presence in all of this, and allow it just to be used for your glory. That's the purpose of different testing that you allow us to go through sometimes, is just that it may not even be for us as we go through those things, but it may be to give hope and give light to somebody that's in the darkness, that can see how they're holding up in a situation that seems just so devastating that they can't understand what it is that holds them up. And that's the hope that you provide for us, the hope that is within us, that just screams Jesus to the people that are looking at us. So we just pray that you do that for them, that you just may guide my words this morning. I'm nothing but a vessel. I have nothing of value. I have nothing to stand up here and say that I'm better than anybody else, or I know more than anybody else. It's your word. It's your truth. So allow your spirit to just work upstairs and downstairs with our children this morning. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So we're going to continue with the influence of what the demonic realm does, and What it's going to do is it's going to be warfare. We've talked about spiritual warfare. We've looked at the different things, just our spiritual battles, and that is anything that's coming at us from the outside that's trying to come at us. And the demonic influence, remember that that Satan is trying to do anything that he can do to hinder the plan and the purpose of God. That's his goal. He knows I need to thwart this plan of God. I need to be able to destroy it, to get it off path, to do whatever I can do, because the longer that I can do that, the more authority that I have on this earth. The more rule and reign that I can do, the more people that I've got. He's arrogant, prideful. He wants followers. He wants people to be subject to him and to be able to deny God and deny Jesus. And that's his whole goal. So what he's going to do is he's going to use his demons, his servants, as we're going to look, his demons to be able to carry out these things. And we covered last week the demon possession with the unbelieving, but now we say, what is our part in it? What is our thing we need to recognize? That's the goal of today, this morning, as we sit here for this short time, is just to say, we need to recognize what the enemy is doing. Because the more we can recognize, the faster we can recognize what this influence is and what this does against us, the better that we're going to be able to combat it. That's our goal. Is that not why we want to be here and learn? We want to be able to sit here and learn so we can know what the things of God are. What does God say to us to be able to handle these situations and this influence that you and I are constantly up against? So the influence comes from three main things. We have suggestion, we have temptation, and we have influence. Okay? And within this, like I said, our key that we're going to look at today is sin. Because they use sin, and sin is such a part of those three, those suggestions, temptation, and influence. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's not a sin to have a thought. It's not a sin to be influenced or be around something. But what it is, it's a sin when we cross that line and look into that suggestion, when we look into that influence of the people maybe that we're around or the things that we're around, or when we give into that temptation. Then when we cross the line and it becomes sin. So the enemy's goal is to try to get us to cross that line. How can I get Matt to suggestion that's in his head about this thing or this thought or this action? How can I get him to act upon that or to continually to think about that? Because when I get him to think about that, that then allows him to cross that line, walking in sin then, leaving the fellowship of Jesus Christ, walking in sin, being able to be ineffective in the plan and the purpose of God. That's the whole goal. That's what we need to look at, is what is demonic influence to us? It's that, to get line into sin. So they're going to suggest things to us, they're going to tempt us with certain things, and they're going to try to influence us with certain things. And we all know we can go down the list of the things in the world today that influence us. You know, turn the TV on, look at social media, look at what the world's agenda is and the world tries to push for us. That's an influence. All the pop-up ads, all the things that's just constantly at you all the time on your phones when you're looking through things and then a pop-up ad. I don't need to do that, but what do my eyes see? I want to follow that. They're going to suggest things. They're going to influence. So suggestions are thought. I call them thought pop-ups. When I think of a suggestion, it's a pop-up in my brain that it is. And what then I do with that is then I turn around and I take that pop-up idea and I build something that's unrealistic. Okay, I take it and I create a false storyline, whether that is a storyline of the past, whether that is a storyline of the present, or whether that is a storyline of the future. I'm taking that suggestion in my mind and I'm building a false story off of those suggestions, because what that does then is that starts to consume me. That takes my thoughts and and places them on that false story or that problematic item that's in my head, issue that I've created in my head. And I'm building that all off of a little suggestion that has no place to begin anyway, because it's false. And it may be something in your relationship with your wife or your husband. It may be something within your children. It may be something with your employer at work. How many times have you got a phone call or a text message or something that, hey, I need to talk to you? What do we immediately do? We assume the worst. I'm going to get fired. My boss called me into his office. I'm going to get fired. And we start building this and we say, well, who's was it that tattled on me? Or who was it that accused me of him? And all of a sudden we start building this false story about something that happened in the past with a coworker. Maybe that coworker went and is complaining about me. Maybe it's something that I did in the... Well, maybe he didn't like the way I did this job. Or maybe it's something that we got to do next week and he's looking at it and thinking I'm not the man for the job. We look at that and not knowing anything other than a phone call of saying, hey, I need to talk to you, we created a whole storyline off of one suggestion in our brain that we did something wrong and that we don't know what's going to happen. And that's out of fear. And we know that fear is a sin. So we take those things and we build unrealistic stories off of suggestions. And to look at this, to say, where does this demonic influence come from? Obviously, let's look at Scripture. In 2 Corinthians, we're just going to kind of go down a path here. 2 Corinthians, it's going to be chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. You can actually start in verse 12. But what I am doing, I will continue to do so that I may cut off opportunity. Okay? So there's a word, opportunity. From those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Okay, so here we have that spiritual warfare, that battle of the demonic influence that we have. We have people out there disguising them. The demonic forces are disguising themselves as angels of light, as good, to be able to influence us, to be able to take us off of the things that God desires us to do. They seek for an opportunity for us to trip up and fail. They're throwing those at us all the time, and it's an opportunity that we have to recognize. The whole goal of today is to recognize that opportunity. Do I fall into that sin and that demonic influence, or do I take that opportunity and use it for good and use it for the things of God? We have an opportunity. Those opportunities that we walk through every day that we need to start recognizing and pulling out and saying, what is this opportunity that I have laying in front of me? Can I glorify God, or am I going to go after what I want to go after with my flesh? Am I going to be influenced by the demonic world? Because so many times we think a demonic world is a place that, well, I don't, we come all that occult stuff and all that, and I don't do any of that, so the demons don't have, that demonic world and spiritual warfare doesn't have anything to do with me. And what we're looking at this morning is, yes, it does. It's sin. Anything with sin is that demonic influence that we fight, and that's what we have to realize, because the Scripture, the New Testament, speaks all through it of what, how to combat this influence, how to combat this battle, how to combat this spiritual warfare that we are in, and that it's that real. So we need to look at it and we need to call it out as what it is. It's demonic influence. When we have that opportunity to either sin or to stay in the path of righteousness, that is demonic influence. Demonic influence is pulling us into sin so they can take us out. Because the demonic oppression in things, as we covered last week, the darkness cannot be where it's light. Okay? The darkness wants nothing to do with the light. So if they can get you and I off the path, because you say, well, why are they wanting to get us so far off of this path of righteousness? Not shining bright. So what it allows them to do is collaborate more and come in more and come in more. You take everybody in this church, and then you take everybody in this community, and you take everybody, and everybody just starts coming in sin. I mean, walking in sin, acknowledging their sin, not acknowledging it to God, but acknowledging it as a lifestyle and living it as a lifestyle. Okay, what is that going to do to the United States of America? That light that's burning so bright right now because of the Christians that are in it, that are trying to take their spiritual walks and make it a lifestyle and do it as God calls us to do it, that light's burning. But if we all of a sudden don't, we're going to get that flip-flop. And that's going to allow that demonic oppression upon a nation to be much greater. So we are essentially on the front lines of that to say, how bright can I continue to let the torch burn in America? You want to care? You care about America? It starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with my life. It starts with your life. Of sin that you let rule and reign in your life, that you're not allowing God to take care of like he said he will, when we confess that to him like we do when we start every Sunday morning, When we don't turn that over, that's taking our dimmer switch and it's dimming it down. And then what happens with America is we have more oppression and more oppression. That's why it's so ugly in all these foreign nations across sea. As they don't have, when you have populations that are 99% Muslim, for example, or the Hindu populations, or just the atheist religion, I'll call it a religion, but the belief, they're believing not to believe, so therefore they believe in something. But you look at whatever that is, that demonic forces and those oppressions, you have people in Haiti right now. The people running the country of Haiti are cannibals. They're literally cooking people on the streets and eating them. That's demonic. We can look at that and say that's demonic. Well, guess what? Coming to a place near you. We need to step it up. We need to call sin out for what sin is. We need to be able to change our lifestyle. We need to be able to recognize the opportunity we have to live for Jesus Christ instead of living for the opportunity of ourselves. Because the more that influence pulls us in the direction of self, 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 that's why I love that the lust, that's sin. Lust after the things of this world for me, to make my life easier, to make my life better. We think that we're so much entitled to things, and all that is a lust. I gotta have. What that lust does is grows in pride, which then takes us out of the path that God needs us to be on. Okay, so you're in Corinthians. Flip over to Galatians, just a few pages backwards, to Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we preach to you, he is to be accursed." So here we have demonic influence. What are angels from heaven that would be preaching the things not of God? Well, that'd be the fallen angels. So that's just, we're building along here on this influence. Ephesians chapter 4:27, it says, "Do not give the devil an opportunity." Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 2. "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, since it's true, lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Okay, so, "Therefore, since you have so great a cloud of witness surrounding us, since it's true, lay aside every encumbrance." What does an encumbrance do? It trips us up. It encumbers us. It bogs us down. It takes us and it weighs us down off of the path that we're supposed to be. And it gets us stuck with those suggestions. What do they do with your mind? Those suggestions, they start to fill your brain till pretty much that's the heaviest thing in your brain. Pretty soon that's your lifestyle. Pretty soon you're not sleeping at night. Pretty soon you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing today because you can't focus on anything else. Every spare minute that you have that's not on the task at hand goes to that encumbrance that's in your mind. That suggestion that turned into that heavy weight that's in your brain. All off of a suggestion. And now, instead of worrying about the things that God needs us to do and living that joyful, abundant life that he calls us to live, what are we doing? We're living in fear by something that hasn't even happened. We're trapped all by a suggestion of something. James chapter 3. Keep flipping back if you want to. James chapter 3. James is a phenomenal book. I thought maybe we'd get more into it today, but we don't have the time. But you want to be a doer of the word. The Bible, James 1:22, calls you to be a doer of the word. You want to do that and know how to do that? Read the book of James. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal book. It's a short book, easy read. It's not the theology talking Paul seems to so much when he brings so much doctrine in. This is just like straight up, hey, I'm going to call a spade, and I'm going to tell you how to live your life. So James chapter 3:15 says, you can start in 13, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds and gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but earthly, natural, and demonic." What is selfish ambition, bitter jealousy, impure hearts. So you can say we're all influenced by the demonic realm because all of us have had impure hearts. If you have an impure heart, guess what? That's from the demonic influence that we have to do that. Matthew 5 tells us to have pure hearts, pure motives. The Beatitudes, blessed be the pure in heart. So Jesus gives us, we have here, he says, don't have an unpure heart, have a pure heart. Because he knows what the pure heart does versus what an impure heart does for us. Think of the protection that God sees that you and I don't see. I have a visual that we're going to look at to kind of show that. Okay, so the suggestions are thought pop-ups that build an unrealistic or false storyline, either past, present, or future. And the thing to remember is, and we try to do this with our children so often, is protect them and shield them from things because you can't unsee, you can't hear or unhear, or you can't redo things that we've already done. Once you see something, you see something. Once you hear something, you hear it. Once you do it, you do it. You can't undo those. And that's something that with these suggestions, that's what we need to do to guard. What does the Bible tell us? To guard our hearts and our minds. Because if we're not guarding our minds, the demonic influence is going to continue to suggest those things and build these storylines and do all these things. And if our hearts are not guarded, we're going to fall captive and we're going to be ensnared and we're going to be entangled in that sin and those problems. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. That's the things we're supposed to fill our mind with. Instead of filling it with these ugly suggestions and all these evil opportunities, Colossians 3:2 says, how do we do that? We set our mind on the things above, not the things that are on the earth. We focus on Him. So those, I challenge you to the spare minutes that you have to think of something holy. The spare time that you have for somebody, because that'll force you to think of something holy if you pray for somebody. If it's your wife, if I'm at work and I'm driving the forklift from a different building to a different building and I'm just on there daydreaming, instead of daydreaming about some other suggestion that the enemy's going to try to put on my mind, because that's something you have to recognize and be aware of, they're going to use every opportunity of free time that you have to try to fill your brain with something. Use it for something good. Think of, okay, I'll pray for my wife. What's she challenged with right now? What's she doing at home? Maybe I'll pray for her. That allows me to be able to seek Him first. And then I can just look around and I can look at things. You all have your own things in your home or at your workplace or whatever it is that you can see. Or somebody that maybe you know needs prayed for. So fill your thoughts with things like that in our spare time. That's what it means by setting your minds on the things on above, not on the things of the earth. Psalm 119:11 says, I have stored up your word in my heart. Are we putting that in? Are we storing it up? Because if I'm continually focused on the things of the world, I'm putting the things of the world in my heart. So when I'm called upon, the things of the world are going to come out, and the things of the world are going to be those suggestions and those storylines that I build. So therefore, we seek the things above and set our mind on Him. Temptations, often a result of a suggestion, right? We get that suggestion, we're tempted to play with it, right? We want to take it further. We as human beings want to toe the line as hard as we can. I do. I'm going to flirt with disaster as close as I physically can. I'm going to bring it, and I'm going to walk that line. That's human nature to be able to do that. That's temptation. And we're going to take it, and we're going to run with it, and we're going to push it. Okay, we know that God doesn't tempt us. We covered that last week in James 1:13, that He will not allow you to be tempted beyond our ability because He is in control. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Remember the book of Job, Satan and the fallen angels had to go before God to be able to, in lack of words, ask to mess with Job, to be able to mess with his life, to be able to mess with his family, to be able to do everything. They had to go to God first and ask for permission. So therefore, God will only allow this evil influence to be able to be what he deems fit. It's never going to be anything that we can say, God, that's not fair, I can't do this, or God, you're not in control of these. Well, yeah, he is. Remember, they're a created being. Their characteristics, if you will, their personalities, if you will, are still governed by God because he designed them. So therefore, they have to go get approval or authority before there's anything that they can do to you. So that's a key foundational truth to help control that fear in your life, is to know that no matter what it is, it's got to run through God first. God sees me fit to be able to handle this situation. God sees me fit to be able to handle this problem. God sees me fit to be able to control this mind. God gave me this mind. I call it a psychotic, scary place, but God gave it to me. There's scary things in there. But God gave me that mind. Therefore, God can help me control that mind. It's not too big for him. So through tempting, he allows us an opportunity for victory and blessing. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "Thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, which then in turn produces that blessing, which is freedom." That's the victory. So give thanks in that freedom. Galatians 5:1 is, "It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Therefore, do not be subject again to that yoke of slavery." That slavery is sin. That's what he freed us from. He freed us from sin. A desire in itself is sin. A desire to do wrong, even if the opportunity isn't there, is a sin. Every temptation can turn into a test from God. Every temptation can turn into a test from God. It's a test of our faith. So therefore, we're going to take the things of the spiritual warfare, the spiritual battle, the temptations that they do, we're going to do what Romans 8:28 says, and we're going to turn them into good. So we're going to take that temptation that God didn't give us, but God allowed. Why did God allow me to be tempted? So I can turn around and I can use it for good to help build my faith. Another thing that I can set like Goliath's sword in the corner of my tent that I can look at and say that God is faithful. Every test can turn into a temptation. A temptation to take the easy way out. So we can turn around and we can take the test that God gives us to grow our faith, and we can fail by taking the easy way out. Because what's the enemy do when we're in the hard spot? When we know we got a test from God, when there's something that is legitimately, we can make decisions to take an easy way out that does not glorify God, or the path that glorifies God maybe look hard, may look rough. We don't know what's around the corner. So we have a temptation during that test to be able to take the easy way, because our lust tells us, I can't do that. I'm afraid. I'm fearful to what's around that corner. I'm fearful to go down that path. So we have an opportunity during that test to either glorify him or to glorify Satan by taking the temptation out. Development of a Christian life is self-control. You want to develop your Christian life? Have self-control. We need self-control in these situations to be able to do that. Okay, influence, being led astray. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we were already there once. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 through 4, "Be imitators of me just as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions." Did I hit? Sorry, I'm on the wrong one. 2 Corinthians, I was reading first. "Okay, I wish that you would bear with me in a little foolishness, but indeed you are bearing with me. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I betrothed you to one husband so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of the devotion to Jesus." Okay, so he's saying, Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, and he's saying, I'm jealously after you doing right. That's why I'm taking the time to write these letters, to visit you, to do these things, because I want you to do right, because I see the good that it does. And I want you to be right, to be able to present yourself pure and holy before Jesus, because that's how you're created. That's what Jesus hung on the cross to do, was he created us in that image to God of pure and holiness. And he goes, that's what I'm trying to get you to see. So beware that he's afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of the devotion to Christ. The problem with this craftiness is we typically don't see it till it's too deep. That's part of the word, craftiness. He's sly. The enemy is efficient at what they do. They know what they've been doing it from since the beginning of human time. Clear back in the garden it started. So do you think that they've got their program honed in? You think they know how to make things work? How to tempt? How to deceive? How to destroy? They're good at it. So the craftiness, we typically don't see how bad it has influenced us until we are deep, because of, back to 1 Corinthians where we were, is that the enemies are disguising themselves as light. So often we see things that the enemy does, and if we don't understand what truth is and we don't understand the things of God, we won't be able to decipher what is true and what is false. Okay, is there anything up there? Good? Okay. We made this for our youth group, kids downstairs, and I added on a couple more slides, but this slide is just shows you we all have choices to make. And what we use this for is to explain to them, number one, their salvation, and that, number two, eternal security. That once they make that choice, they are secure in that faith. The little baby is the day we're born. You couldn't choose that. God designed that day for you to be born. Okay? But the cross, the day that you believe that you need a Savior and you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, follow the answer, you are immediately in that level as a child of God. You're in the kingdom of God. Okay? Within that, you see the chains and the lock. We use that for the analogy that you're sealed. The Bible uses the word sealed. That it is there. It cannot be undone. It is a forever sealing. We cannot lose. We've covered this time and time again. You cannot lose your salvation. Once saved, always saved. It's the easiest way to think about it. And then our arrow is just our life, and you have your death day. Okay, so this is just, it's not the slide that I want to show, but it's just giving you through. So this one, okay, this is how we explain to the kids confession. Okay, we still have our chain. Notice our padlock on our chain. Inside that circle is, if you're in fellowship, if you will, we'll use that term, in fellowship with Jesus. We're walking in the Spirit. You're walking with Jesus. You and I have the choice to sin. When we sin, the black arrow takes us where? Outside that circle of fellowship. Key place, did it take you outside the chain link fence? No. We're still inside that. We're still sealed, remember? Even though we sin, we are still sealed in that redemption by Jesus Christ, because the blood that he shed, we are still a child of God. Our salvation is not lost, but we're walking around in that gray area. We then, 1 John 1:9, we can confess our sins. We can then get out of that gray area and go back into that fellowship with God. So we're going to take it today, and I want to look at it and say the demonic influence. Okay? A believer is kept, and the evil one doesn't touch us. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 and 1 John 5:18 tell us that. Okay? So that is proof of this chain link fence right here, that we're kept. We're kept from the things on the outside of the fence. But they're much closer and effective in harming us through deceit, through that influence. Put yourself in this picture. Step outside of that white circle and you're now up against that fence. Are things more realistic against that fence than they are when you're inside that circle? If there's a dog on the outside of that fence barking, are you getting a little nervous against that fence versus when you're inside your house? We are, right? Makes the hair stand up on the back of our neck. It influences us. It makes us doubt that fence. It makes us question that fence. Is that fence going to hold that dog back? Because we're not walking in fellowship. So when we're in that gray area, that deceit, that doubt, that fear, all of that stuff comes creeping in and it's much more realistic. It's a distraction because of the distance, if you will, between us and the protection of the Holy Spirit that we have when we're walking in fellowship with God. God has designed His Spirit and His fellowship with us for more than us just doing good things. That's a key. He also designed it for protection. Protection from what? We talked about this a little last night. What if we could see what was outside that fence? I think God specifically protects us by not allowing us to see what's outside that fence. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit, obviously, is to convict the world of sin and then turn around and convict us of sin in our own life. But also when we're walking with, think of the protection that it provides. Think of the protection God provides you by allowing His Spirit to be indwelt in you from that stuff that's on the outside of the fence. We don't see what's outside the fence like God does. Do you suppose the brighter the light shines, the further the separation from the fence? The things that are coming at the fence, the things that are there. We look at the United States of America. The brighter that light burns, this is just a, not really a rhetorical question, but kind of a thought. There's no proof in what it is. But the longer and the more we are in fellowship, walking with Jesus, we know that that is the light. We know that that burns bright. That's Scripture. So the more we do that, you suppose, since the enemy does not like light, the further they flee from that light. I think that is true. So therefore, we're in that. That's why 1 John 1:9 is so important in your individual life. And to even go on behalf of other people, as so many times in Scripture it does. Confess the sins. Do not let that light dimish. Do not let that dimmer switch go down. Because what that's going to do, the brighter it is, the farther it's going to push away the enemy. But if we continue to just live in that sin by living in that gray area, because you and I can choose to stay in that gray area. Sometimes we like our sin. Remember we like to toe the line? Well, when we're in our sin, we're going to take our sin and push it as far as we can physically push it. As far as we can mentally push it. Whatever it may be. So when we're in that gray area, what that's doing is that dimmer switch is staying low. And just, it's stupid analogy, but look at it as if the demonic forces are looking for a place to go and they don't like light, they're going to go to a place if it's really bright here, but this one's a little bit dimmer, where are they going to go? Remember they float over the waters looking for a place, looking for dry land, for the place that's not the living water of Jesus? So if we're not walking and working out the things of Jesus because we're stuck in our sin, what's that influence going to be like? It's going to be a lot heavier and it's going to be a lot harder. We'll hit this next week. So there's a tease for what it looks like, but we'll hit this next week. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to come together this morning. We just thank You that You sent Your Son to die on a cross for us, that the blood that He shed was enough to cover the multitudes of the sins from all of creation, that You've allowed us to be able to be redeemed, to be justified in that righteousness that allows us to be holy and blameless in Your sight. We thank You that it's just a simple act of repentance that we need to do to be able to be in that protection that You provide us. I pray that as we go out of here that we may recognize the demonic influence of this world as we go out of here this week. It's in every aspect of our life. The distraction, the division, the confusion, the deceit, the doubt, all that is there, and we know that that's all part of the spiritual battle that we face. So I pray that we can just stay walking in your footsteps, that we can be in fellowship with you, that we can seek after the things of you this week, that we may truly just give us that yearn and that empty hole that we just need to fill that can't be filled with anything in this world that's materialistic or whatever it may be. Just let it be your word that we thirst after, that we just hunger after, that we just can't get enough of. Let us be real this week. Your son's name we pray. Amen.